As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and it's good to be here with you on this fine Saturday afternoon, March 6th. Hopefully you guys are staying dry out there and enjoying yourself today. Guess what? This week we celebrated Dr. Seuss and his birthday. And like is to be expected in this crazy world that we live, the cancel culture quickly has jumped all over this and decided that Dr. Seuss is bad, that Dr. Seuss is racist, and that we should no longer be able to have access to his writings, and his book should be banned. And they've started to remove them from schools. They're removing them from libraries. They're removing them from bookstores. And even the publisher that's been making millions of dollars off Dr. Seuss for who knows how long has even announced that they're going to stop publishing 5 books because they're racist. Now, I, throughout my life, have read quite a bit of Dr. Seuss. You might say that Dr. Seuss was responsible for helping to mold me into the man that I am today. In fact, Dr. Seuss was quite possibly some of the more advanced reading that I've been able to accomplish in my life. And no, in all seriousness, Dr. Seuss books, who doesn't love them? Who doesn't love them? Who doesn't love the little characters? And I hope you're sitting down for this, because I'm going to admit something that it's hard for me to admit, and I've probably never admitted anything like this in the past, but I do believe in being honest. And I do believe in giving credit where credit is due. And so I just got to call it like it is. A few years back, President Obama was talking to some students, and he was talking about Dr. Seuss and the books. And basically, in a nutshell, what he said is, almost everything you need to know about life, you can learn in a Dr. Seuss book. And then he went on to name some of the different books, and specifically he talked about the Sneetches and the stars or not the stars, and you know, at the end of the story, the moral was that it doesn't matter if you have a star or no star, we're all the same. We're all the same. And I have to say that for the first time ever, I 100% agreed with President Obama. We were on the same page with what he was talking about. He was a fan of Dr. Seuss, and yes, you can learn a lot about life's lessons and how to be a good person and how to overcome and persevere if you read and you take to heart the message in these Dr. Seuss books. How anybody is tying them to anything that is racist or bigoted absolutely is mind-boggling, but it should show you exactly where we are at in this country right now, and how this cancel culture has just gotten completely out of control and crazy, that they're going to go after something like Dr. Seuss. And we've been watching it happen for the last several years. And there's been things that they've been starting to holler about. And, you know, one thing that comes to my mind that is a childhood favorite, but my gosh, it's an awful, awful program nowadays. If you ask the cancel culture group, the crazy left They're radical extremists, communists. That's what they are. The Dukes of Hazzard. You know, that was just a quality family TV show back when I was growing up. And, you know, you watch it now and, yeah, there's probably some stuff in there that a young kid probably didn't need to see. But, again, you got to take into account what the times were. And I don't think you could hold people accountable for something that was acceptable. You know, if there was anything wrong in any of this stuff, what you should say is, you know what? We've evolved over time. We've realized that that wasn't the great message, that, you know, some of these things that we might have been able to talk about, or the way we would say things back in the day, or some of the things that, you know, were put into various TV shows and commercials and movies. Maybe it wasn't the best material, but we've identified that. And in the future, we make it a goal to do better. It doesn't mean that we erase our history. We erase our past. Because where does it stop? I mean, again, like I said, with the Dukes of Hazzard, there was, at the time, it was just good TV. It was just entertainment. Nobody looked at it any further than that. There were no racial undertones that I picked up on when I was watching the Dukes of Hazzard. You know, now the Confederate flag, it's tied to white supremacist and the KKK. And if you fly the white flag, you are immediately deemed a racist or a skinhead or something like that. But when I was growing up, the rebel flag, the Confederate flag, it meant what I learned from the Dukes of Hazzard, basically, that you were a rebel. You were kind of an outlaw. You like to push the envelope a little bit. It didn't mean that you were a bad person. It didn't mean that, you know, you were a racist or a bigot at all. It didn't mean that you treated anybody differently because of the color of the skin or their nationality or their religion. You know, it just meant that you were a free thinker, that, you know, you were free, freedom. And that's what I thought of for many years about the rebel flag. Now, sure, in school you learn about the Confederacy and you know, that was their flag. And that's, again, it's part of our history. There are American citizens that have deep roots from the South, and that is part of their history. You wouldn't tell immigrants from Mexico to forget about that Mexican flag and to forget about the history, their past, where they came from. So why do you do that with Americans that have deep roots from the South and they can trace their lineage and their heritage and their ancestors back to the Confederacy? Now, we can argue all day long, you know, what was the Confederacy really fighting for? Was it state rights? Was it to keep slaves? You know, was it good? Was it bad? Clearly, the Union won. Clearly, we are the United States of America. But you can't just continue to erase history like it didn't happen or change the meaning of things and all of a sudden make something that didn't mean anything wrong or harmful, but now all of a sudden it's this horrible racist and bigoted symbol just because somebody says so. That's the thing. Just because it's deemed that way by a certain group of radical leftist individuals that are pushing this cancel culture narrative. And I don't even know what their game plan is. It just blows my mind how they're willing to attack anything and everything and turn what was good into something bad. As far as racism, you know what? Our country is so much better off today than it ever was in the past. But what we're always being accused of as of recently, you know, white males, conservatives, Republicans, constitutionalists, Trumpers, MAGAs, anybody that falls on the right is automatically labeled a bigot or a racist. Why? It's not because we treat anybody different. It's not because we treat anybody poorly. It's not because we discriminate against anybody for any reason at all. Do we denounce racism? Absolutely 100%. 100% we denounce racism. It's wrong. Is bigotry wrong? Well, yes. But you got to remember, each and every one of us at times has been a bigot. If you go by the definition of bigot, it means you dislike something. You disapprove of something. There are a lot of things that I'm bigoted towards because I dislike it, because I think it's wrong, because it's immoral, because it's not lawful. There are a lot of reasons to be bigoted, and there's nothing wrong per se with that. If you're bigoted towards a person because of their race, color, creed, gender, sexual orientation, if they're a member of any of the alphabet soup family, yeah, that's wrong. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to embrace their ideology. And that's what the problem is. They want us, it's not enough to treat them fairly, to be kind to them. They want us to embrace their ideology. And if we don't, we're immediately labeled racist, bigots, you name it. I don't have to like what you do. I don't have to like who you are even. I definitely don't have to believe in what you believe in, and for that matter, help you celebrate it. That's wrong. Don't force me to do that. Don't force us to conform to your ways. That's wrong. And if we ever did that to you, if we ever looked at somebody that's a member of the alphabet soup family, the LGBTQRSYXYZ, you name it, okay? If we ever told them you can't do that anymore, you have to be straight, you have to be a heterosexual, you can't love a member of the opposite sex, you can't hold their hands, you can't have a relationship with them. Could you imagine how we would be attacked? Could you imagine how they would come after us? We don't do that. We just want to live our lives, and they can live their lives also. That's fine. But don't force us to celebrate your lifestyle. And don't force us to try to believe in something that we don't believe in, that we think is immoral. It's okay for us to disagree. We can agree to disagree, and we should still be able to get along. But the mentality that the left has right now, they don't want to get along. If we disagree, they want to destroy us. If we're not 100% on board with their opinions, they're out to destroy us. And we see it over and over again. And it's time for Americans to say enough. It's time for us to put our foot down and say, we are tired of this BS. You know, everybody's a bigot. Everybody's a racist now. Have you noticed that? Everything you do is considered racist now. If they don't like it, you can't win. And I think the problem is we're all on so many eggshells about this stuff. We're all so concerned. We're all so worried that we're going to be labeled. We're worried they're going to attack us. We walk around on eggshells, and they think they've got the power because of that. They think that they can control us, and they've been controlling us, and they control the narrative, but it's only because we allow them to do it. We need to stop giving them a platform. We need to stop allowing them to control that narrative. We need to stop walking on eggshells. It's okay to be ourselves as long as we treat everybody with respect and dignity, as long as we're kind to each other, as long as we're not discriminating against anybody because of their race, color, creed, sexual orientation, and whatever else. Discrimination and racism of any kind is wrong. But it doesn't mean that you have to accept. It doesn't mean that you have to accept a lifestyle that you don't believe in. It doesn't mean that you have to celebrate lifestyles that you don't believe in. And we need to stop pandering to the left. We need to stop pandering to this cancel culture. I mean, they're coming after Dr. Seuss. They came after Little House on the Prairie. The Dukes of Hazzard, woo, that is way out there. Enough is enough, you guys. It's time for Americans to say, no, this is ridiculous. And I'll tell you what, my friends, none of us living today are responsible for any of the past racism. None of us living today are responsible for any slavery, and nobody living today is still affected because of what happened several hundred years ago. And if that's the case, every single race would have a claim, because at some point in our world's history, every single race has been a slave. Every single race has been persecuted. But you know what? Not every single race is screaming about it and demanding reparations and trying to make us feel guilty for things that happened several hundred years ago that none of us had anything to do with. Stick with us, friends. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and thanks for joining me today, Saturday afternoon. And like I was saying, I hope you're staying dry. I was hoping it was going to be a little bit sunnier this weekend. I had a lot of yard work to do. Still in the middle of cleaning up all the damage from the ice storm and all the trees that were broken. And man, my property up in my wooded area, it looks like a bomb went off. And me and my son and a couple good friends have been chipping away at it and just trying to make some headway. But gosh, we're going to have firewood for the rest of our lives. And it's going to be a long time to get everything cleaned up. Up in my wooded area, we got trails that go all through there that, you know, you can ride the ATVs on you know, we hunt in there. We got some blinds set up in there and whatnot, but it's just unsafe to be up there now. There's so many trees that are partially fallen and broken and hung up and just different snags that until we get it cleaned up, it's just not safe to be up there. I definitely don't feel comfortable having my kids up there playing around until we get it cleaned up. So that is on our agenda. It's just a busy time of the year, you know. Spring is starting. There's already flowers growing and my grass is starting to grow, and I just feel like, holy smokes, I don't have time to deal with these extra things that I wasn't planning on, like the damage from the ice storm. This rain, my grass is growing, it needs to be mowed, but it's just so rainy. And then we got, you know, sports are starting up. The high school sports are finally allowed to go. They're greatly modified, and unfortunately, the parents right now, there's not allowed to be any spectators. The Fuhrer has made sure that there's no spectators. So my daughter, it's her senior year. She's starting on volleyball. She's going to be playing softball. And super stoked that she gets to play. But man, as a parent, I am so bummed that I don't get to watch her in her final year of playing high school volleyball. And I've got baseball season starting. And my team's already started practicing. We're going at it in the batting cage, just waiting for it to get a little bit light in the evenings, a little bit longer, so we can get out on the field and hopefully the fields start drying out a little bit. But there's just a lot going on. We got Easter around the corner, and I know I'm just preaching to the choir, and I kind of got off on a rant, but I know you guys are feeling it too. And so I wish you the best of luck in getting your household organized, and hopefully your schedules are a little bit easier than my schedule is. But it just reminds us that we all kind of got to stick together in these times. And I've been blessed. I've had awesome friends that have come over and helped me out in some of this cleanup. And you know what? It's really important right now, with everything that's going on in this country, that we figure out who our people are. And the people that are going to support you, and what is your network? And it goes back to things I've talked about over and over again on this show about preparedness. And we talked a little bit about it just right after the storm. You know, it made people realize how unprepared they were. And, you know, they didn't have the ability to communicate and they weren't able to check on each other. The cell phones were down. And so hopefully this is still on your mind. And that's why I talk about these things. I want you guys to continue thinking about this. I don't want you to forget about that storm. I don't want you to, in July, be sitting there and the storm's 6 months in the past. And I don't want you to not have done anything more to prepare yourself to make it so if we had another one, you wouldn't be better off then than you were a few weeks ago. So that's the goal. We're going to keep reminding you about this stuff. And part of that is, who is your network? Who are your people? What's your support group? Who are you going to rely on to come and check on you when they can't get through on the phone, when you can't get through on the phone? Do you have other types of communication, radio communication, CB radios, ham radios? I think one thing that's really apparent to people is that you can't rely on the cell phones. Now, most people thought that something like this happens and no worries, we got the cell phones. We figured, we assumed the cell phones are a lot safer than the landlines. But as many of you guys found out that with this ice storm that we had, almost immediately our cell phone service was down. Or for a lot of people, it just did not work. Now, people are asking questions, why did something happen? What caused it to go? Well, the towers that run our cell phones, they run on power. And when there's no power, they struggle. Now, there's supposed to be a backup battery that runs for 24 hours in these cell towers. And apparently something happened. Something might have been damaged. The batteries just didn't last how they were supposed to. And so we ended up losing cell coverage right away. And for many of us, we didn't get good cell coverage back for, you know, almost a week later. So that's the first thing you guys should realize is you can't rely on your cell phones. Landlines are going to be down because of the down power lines and power poles. And the cell phones most likely aren't going to be working too. What other forms of communication do you guys have at your disposal? What can you get set up with right away? And start training yourself on it. Just start preparing yourself and start thinking, what else can I use? How will I get a hold of my friends, my network, my people, my family when I can't use my cell phone? Don't allow your cell phone to be your only method of communication. If you have a major emergency and you can't get out on the cell phone, what are you going to do? Just make sure that you're thinking about this stuff, friends, and every day chip away at it and make sure that you're better prepared today than you were yesterday. It's pretty simple to do. And trust me, if we ever have a nasty event, whether it's a man-made disaster or a natural disaster, and everybody's in panic mode, and the world's looking pretty bleak and ugly, and you don't know who you can trust, and everybody just seems like they're going crazy, you're going to be really happy that you took some extra time and was responsible and you planned ahead and you prepared your family to weather the storm. Trust me, it's well worth the time and it's well worth the money. It's a little bit of a financial commitment, but I think it's something that everybody should budget for. It should be in your monthly budget. Stick with me, friends. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, fellow Patriots. Welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. Remember that you can always follow my show on our Facebook page, Patriot Uprising. I encourage you guys to go to that page and like it and share it with your friends. Help get the word out about this show, you guys. Hopefully, I'm giving you guys some good information that you appreciate. And just share it with the friends. Let's continue to grow this show so I can take more time and grow the content that I'm providing you guys. So go to Facebook, like Patriot Uprising Radio, and I try to keep it updated. I try to keep posts on it almost daily. And then once a week, I'll always post the podcast of the previous week's show. So, for example, yesterday, on Friday, I posted last Saturday's show in a podcast format. So if you miss a show, you can always go back to the Facebook page and you can click on that podcast and you can get caught up on the shows. You can also go to the KSLM.news radio website and you can always go to the podcast tab and you can go down and you can read or take a look and listen to any of these podcasts. Anything from my show, Patriot Uprising Radio, to Mike Gallagher, to Dave Ramsey, to Ben Shapiro, to Michael Savage. And it's just a really great source to catch up on your news quick. It's easy to use. And we definitely like it when you go there and take a listen. And that way, you're not missing anything. You are always up to date on what we're talking about. Now, I was just talking a little bit about being prepared. I've been talking a little bit about the cancel culture and how crazy things are. I wanted to talk about Biden, though. Are you guys as concerned as I am? I think you are. But Biden is, we've said it before, he's just missing in action. And when he comes out, he is so controlled. Did you guys see this last White House little brief that they did? And Biden was out there and he said, okay, I'd be happy to take some questions now. And they shut him off. The White House actually would not let him answer questions. And they shut the feed off. They just cut the feed off. It was so telling. It was embarrassing. It was sad. And I just thought, do the Democrats realize what they've done? And who really is in charge? That's the big question. I mean, we've speculated for a long time that this whole Biden presidency was just a sham to get Kamala into office because she's not electable. There's no way she would ever be electable. But the puppet masters, the people pulling the strings, the radical extremists, the communists in the background, a candidate like Kamala is who they really wanted because she is so extreme. Biden is actually a moderate next to Kamala. Okay. So we knew that this was a sham from the beginning and they really wanted to just be able to position Kamala into an area where she could step into the presidency. But I don't think anybody realized how quickly that might happen and just how bad Biden is, you know, I wonder, we talk all the time about, is it his health? Is he just really unhealthy right now? And does he have the beginnings of dementia? And that's what I suspect. But lately, some of the things I've been seeing and some of the behaviors I've been seeing, it also makes me wonder, is he just being so controlled? And is it because of something that we don't know about, like blackmail? Is he being threatened? I mean, his behavior, it's almost like he's scared and he goes out and he does exactly what he's supposed to do. And he breathes when he's supposed to breathe and he says what he's supposed to say for the most part, as long as they can shut him down quick enough. And then they, you know, usher him back behind closed doors. But, you know, he doesn't look happy to me. He doesn't look like somebody that just won the presidency of the United States. And it could be because of his diminishing health, but it also could be he's terrified. He's almost held hostage. He's like a prisoner and he's scared to death and they are holding something over his head and he's doing exactly what he has to do and no more. And because of that, he's either looking like he's got dementia or he's just, he's just not acting very presidential. And so it should be concerning to us. You know, he has not done a press conference at all. He's the only president in over 100 years that hasn't given the press corps a conference within 45 days of his presidency. We are going into March. We're in March, right? And Biden is the only president that has not done a State of the Union address in January or February. It always happens. It's always happened in January or February. It actually changed to February in 1935, but it always happens in the first 2 months. And there's not even any talk about it. You might hear a blurb here or there, but nobody seems even concerned about it. And I thought the State of the Union, you know, ceremonially, it's for the president to talk to the Congress the House and the Senate, and lay out his agenda, basically. But it's mostly for the citizens. It's for us to hear what the agenda is, how the country is doing, what the state of the union actually is in the president's eyes, and what he's going to do about it, and how are we moving on, and what is the new plan. And for him to deny the American people of that, it's just unheard of. And if it was Donald Trump, my friends, holy smokes, he would be torn apart. You know, Biden ran and he claimed that he was going to be the most transparent president that we have ever had. And here he is hiding behind locked door, closed shades, won't come out and give a statement at all. If he does say something, he's got to use the notes. He can't remember that there were 500,000 deaths because of COVID-19 in the United States. How do you forget that? That's not a number you forget. Every American could rattle that number off. But the president of the United States had to look at his notes. He became confused and he couldn't figure out. He couldn't remember. We should all be concerned. Then you have the Democrats send him the letter saying, yeah, we think you need to relinquish your power in regards to the nuclear control and the button. We don't want you to have those codes. We don't want you to be the person that makes the sole decision if we go to war or not. That wasn't the Republicans that sent that letter to him. That was his own party. That was his own Congress that should have his back, right? They're obviously concerned about something. And it's clear to me that some of these Democrats, they've been hoodwinked. Even the politicians, the senators and the congressmen, I don't think they know necessarily what's fully going on or who's pulling the strings. I don't think they realize that Biden was as much as a puppet as he is or had so much diminished health when he took office. I don't think they realize that. And I think that's why the letter got sent. I think they're waking up. They're realizing, holy smokes, hold the brakes. What's going on? Something big is happening in the White House. You have White House staff that are leaking information that are saying that his health continues to diminish, that they were concerned before he was sworn in. But now that he is the president, his health seems to be on a more rapid decline. Well, that just gives credence to the fact that there is early onset dementia happening. When you take somebody out of their normal routine, when you take them out of their living environment, when you put too much stress on them, the demands of the job of the presidency of the United States, just keeping that schedule, people that aren't healthy, they decline faster when they're thrown into these stressful circumstances. And you should never do that. If he does have dementia, my friends, what they're doing to you, to him, is elder abuse. It's flat out elder abuse. And let me tell you, it's hard for me to feel bad for the guy because he's been a pretty big dirtball his entire career. He's been in D.C. for 50 years, and he's been a pretty big dirtball. There's plenty we can say that we don't like about him. We don't like his policies. We don't like his character. We don't like his morals. He's just not been a likable person, okay? But if he's not in the right faculties now, and if they're just using him and they're taking advantage of his dementia to do things that he wouldn't do if he was in the right state of mind or that he shouldn't be doing, they're abusing him. And these people should be investigated. And I think it's at a point now. There's been enough weird things that have happened and enough things that aren't happening the way they should happen, the way they historically happen. There's enough evidence from video and other footage and information that's been leaked out of the White House, etc. I think that there should be an investigation about this. I think they really do need to look at this. Is the president of the United States healthy or not? Because if the answer is no, well, the Democrats are right. He probably shouldn't have access to the nuclear football. He probably shouldn't have those nuke codes, and he probably shouldn't be doing a lot of the things that he's doing that is absolutely decimating this republic, that is destroying jobs, destroying our economy, shutting industry down, killing our businesses. And now he's coming after our rights, too. He's talking about Second Amendment rights. He's talking about executive orders to strip us of our Second Amendment rights. Shall not
be infringed, my friends. What are we going to do? What are we going to do when he signs an executive order trying to remove us of our Second Amendment rights? Shall not be infringed. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, hold on. I hope you have your seatbelt ready, friends, because we're in for a ride, and it's coming. We're getting threats from executive order from Biden. We're getting threats from the Congress. They're getting ready to introduce a bill on gun control. And then here in Oregon, we got a giant fight. Oregon's fixing to be the worst state in the union when it comes to our gun rights. Stick with us. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio. Don't turn that dial.
Back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. Great to be here today with you on this fine Saturday afternoon. We were just talking about President Joseph Biden, and we were talking about his mental faculties not being there, or is it he's just so scared to death he has to breathe when he's told to breathe, he farts when he's told to fart, you know? What's really going on behind the scenes? Because it's one of the two. He really is terrified. Somebody's got dirt on him. Somebody is blackmailing him. And he's doing everything exactly as he's told. Or he has no clue what he's doing because mentally, he doesn't have the capacity to do it. He's got dementia going on or something like that. We were talking about if it's the latter, that the Democrats are right, that he probably shouldn't have access to the nuclear button. Somebody else maybe needs to help make that decision because the boy just, he's not all there upstairs. And if it's the latter, how people involved in this, in my opinion, it's wrong. No matter how much I dislike Biden, and I was telling you how I've thought he's a dirtball his entire career, so many things that are not likable about Biden. He's just not a very nice guy or he never has been. But if he's mentally gone, if he's got dementia or something like that, and they're taking advantage of him and they're pushing him into this position and he can't do it and they're hiding it from the American citizens and they're continuing to make him live a life that he's not capable of doing, that's abuse in my opinion. And those people are scumbags and they should pay for that. But if you remember right, you know, just about 15 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, we started the show talking about Dr. Seuss. And I went from Dr. Seuss, and then I went how I agreed with Obama, the things that he said about Dr. Seuss, and how he actually said that you can learn a lot about life from Dr. Seuss books. And I agree with that 100%. Back when Obama was president, Dr. Seuss wasn't racist for some reason. In fact, Michelle Obama used to love reading Dr. Seuss books to people. And then we kind of segued into Joe Biden and his mental state. And I just found this. I wanted to share it with you because it kind of ties everything together. It goes a little something like this. I do not like your mental haze. I do not like your leftist ways. I do not like your son on blow. I do not like you, Mr. Joe. So a little tribute there to Dr. Seuss for celebrating his birthday week and for letting the cancel culture know, heck no, we're not going to cancel Dr. Seuss. Some of the best books ever written, some of the best poetry ever written, and some of the best life lessons ever learned came from Dr. Seuss. So a tribute to Dr. Seuss and his style of poetry. And then, you know, of course, a knock to Joseph Biden and his administration. And the fact that, yeah, we're not fans and we don't like your son doing blow. By the way, where is Hunter? Where is Hunter? Have you guys Have we heard or seen of Hunter lately? It's like he just disappeared. You know who else disappeared? The prosecutor that was investigating Hunter for his crimes with Ukraine and China and all these other things, all these other accusations that have been made. Have you heard about that? You see, that's what you get, unfortunately, in Washington, D.C. That's one thing I truly regret that Trump didn't have enough time and enough support to fix, is how corrupt the justice system is, the Justice Department, and how everybody protects each other when we know there's crimes that have been committed, but nothing seems to happen. Are we ever going to hear about Jerry Epstein and the people that were involved going to his island and participating in these illegal sex acts with minors and sex trafficking, etc.? Are we ever going to hear about that? We know that there was power players there. We know that there were elites. We know that there was politicians. How come none of those people are being prosecuted yet? You know why? Because the Justice Department knows who they are too. They have the evidence. How come people aren't being prosecuted? Because they protect each other, because everything is corrupt. How about Hillary Clinton? The emails, Benghazi, destroying the computer, bleaching the stuff, having the illegal server, violating the Espionage Act. We know what she did. We know it was criminal. We know for a fact it was criminal. The evidence has been presented. Will she ever go to court over it? Will she ever get in trouble for her actions, her treasonous actions? No. How about Comey and Clapper? No. What about Epstein's girlfriend? Whatever happened to her? Is she still alive or did she check herself out too? Nobody ever talks about her. She knows everything. She has the dirt on everybody. Guess what? I bet we don't hear from her. I bet we don't hear from her. You see, when you get a corrupt administration, when you have a corrupt party that runs everything, and I mean absolutely everything, the progress that we were making, the investigations that were happening, and the little hope that we were going to get the opportunity to hold some of these criminals accountable for the actions that they committed against the citizens of the United States, it gets snuffed out. It gets snuffed out because they protect each other. They're not going to tear the system down. They're not going to tear each other down because they're all guilty. And when I say all guilty, my friends, I mean the Republican Party as well. There are plenty of snakes in the Republican Party. There are plenty of snakes that are just as guilty in the Republican Party as the Democrats. And that's why things continue to happen. It's business as usual in Washington, D.C. And nobody, if you're a politician or should I say an oligarch, right? Because that's the system that we actually have. Are we a true republic anymore? We're not a democracy. Do we run like a capitalistic society? Or do we function more like an oligarchy? You know, we talk about socialism and how we need to avoid that like the plague, and how there's never been a society that has recovered once they've gone down that pathway. But the truth of the matter is, for decades, we've lived more like a socialist society than a constitutional republic. Look at all the social programs we have in the United States. Look at the laws. Look at the freedoms that have been taken away from us. Look at the things we have to do to appease the government. Look at the taxes we have to pay. The truth is, we've been more with one foot in the pool of socialism than we realized. Capitalism. Have we truly been able to operate as a capitalist society? Not 100%. How much could we flourish if that were the case? Think how rich of a nation we could be. Think how much better off everybody would be here. Think of what it would do for our jobs, for our wages. The economy would be booming. And that's the vision that President Donald Trump saw. That's what he was trying to work towards. The American First Movement was to bring all that back, was to get us out of the grips of socialism, was to restore the constitutional republic that we are supposed to be. and it was to move our society back into living under a capitalist structure and giving industry and true capitalism the freedom, unrestrained by government, to flourish and help everybody. The biggest threat we have in this country, my friends, is our government. Imagine what we could accomplish if we didn't have the chains of government tying our hands behind our backs. Think about the things we could do. Think about the American exceptionalism. Why were we exceptional before? Because we didn't believe in big government. We didn't have big government. Government, my friends, is necessary. We need it for our border security. We need it for national security. We need it for infrastructure. But we do not need all the bureaucracies that we have. We do not need them breathing down our neck and putting the restrictions that they've done on us and taxing the hell out of us the way they are continuing to do. That is killing the United States. God bless you guys. Stay vigilant. We will see you next time on Patriot Uprising Radio.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.